Hello and welcome. We're now going to move on to our second unit in the area of what happens when you have other people who are not parties to a contract involved with contracts. The first thing we talked about in our last lecture was third-party beneficiaries. Remember that the critical thing to remember about those are, when can a third-party beneficiary come in and enforce the contract? They have to be an intentional third-party beneficiary. That means that they have to be a third-party beneficiary that the parties intended to have the benefit of the contract occur for them. If they're merely an incidental beneficiary, just like the rest of the world, they may have benefited out of the contract. Well, they don't have privy of contract. They don't have the right to sue to enforce it. Tonight, we're going to talk about assignments and delegations. Assignments and delegations are when the parties to the contract either assign their rights or delegate their duties under the contract to another person. And that's what tonight's lecture is all about. Remember our definition of contract. An agreement between two or more parties created obligations that are enforceable or otherwise recognizable by law. Remember, we're talking about contracts here. These contracts are an agreement. What do they have as their element? It's an agreement between competent parties with capacity. It's based on genuine assent. It's supported by consideration. It's for a lawful purpose. Subject matter, doesn't violate public policy, and it's in the form required by law. When it's required to be written, it's got to be written. When it doesn't have to be written, it still should be written, but it doesn't have to be. Let's talk now about assignment and delegation. What is assignment and delegation? The parties to a contract have both rights and duties. These rights and duties, under certain circumstances, can be transferred or even sold to another person or to another entity. This process is known as assignment and delegation. What is assignment? Well, Black's Law Dictionary defines assignment as the transfer of contractual rights to a third party. So if you have a right in a contract, that party who has that right can transfer it to another party. That's called an assignment. What's a delegation? It is, according to Black, the act of entrusting another with authority to perform the duties of a contract. Whereas an assignment transfers the rights, a delegation transfers the duties. An assignment is a voluntary manifestation of intention of the holder of an existing right to make an immediate transfer of that right to another person. So they are saying, this is my right under the contract. I have a right under that contract to receive $500 a month from the person who is paying rent because the contract is for renting the property to that other person. And as the landlord, I have a right to that $500 every month. Well, I can assign that right to another party. Instead of, let's say I want to buy their car. And they say, well, pay me $500 a month for the next 6 years and you can have my car. Well, instead of paying them the $500 a month, I could assign my rights in that rental property and say, there, you're going to collect that rent from that party for the next period of years till I pay off the car. Well, you can assign that right, and that's what the assignment does. When does a right to be assigned come into existence? A right comes into existence and can be assigned as soon as the contract creating it has been formed. So I can assign that right immediately, and it is frequently immediately assigned. As opposed to an assignment, the nature of a delegation is where a person is entitled to delegate their contractual duties unless the delegation of those duties violates either the contract or public policy. Whereas few people care about the assignment of rights. The delegation of a duty can be personally specific. So whereas almost no contract will ever prohibit the assignment of a right, it will frequently prohibit the delegation of a duty. That is a issue generally because of an expectation of the party that you will do what you promised to do. And one of the reasons why, although you have a general freedom to delegate, unless the contract prohibits it, frequently the contract will prohibit it. Why? Because you want to contract with somebody you know is going to perform the duty rather than have that duty shifted over to somebody you don't know if there is reliable. Or if you said, I contracted with you because of your skill, because of your talent, because of your experience. I didn't contract with them. They don't have that skill. They don't have that talent. They don't have any of that experience. So their performance is not what I was looking for. So basically, the nature of a delegation says you have the freedom to delegate unless the contract or public policy or some provision of law prohibits it. The contractual interests and the expectations of the party is what controls on a delegation. Again, freedom to transfer those rights by assignment, rarely prohibited. Delegations sometimes are. The basic concept and terminology of an assignment versus a delegation: an assignment involves rights. A delegation involves duties. And the rights of the assignee are the rights of the assignor. So if I assign you a right, you stand in my shoes as if you were me. So again, with that contract that I bought the car and then I'm going to assign my right under the lease contract for the property, for the real property, I'm going to sign those rental payments over to the other party. You have to pay that other party if you're notified that that's who you have to pay. Why? Because it's an assignment, and I have the right to do that, and that person's right to collect it, the person who I bought the car from, is as if it was me. They stand in my shoes. What are the form and notice of a assignment? An assignment may be in any form. It can be oral, or it can be in writing, the same way a contract can. Now, if a contract is required to be in writing, that assignment needs to be in writing too. But absent that, that assignment can be oral too, because it's a separate contract, okay? And the notification of that is what's critically important. The effect of the notification makes the person who's obligated on the contract notified that they have to provide that right to that other person. The effect of failure to notify means that, guess what, there is no effective assignment because they don't know that they have to pay that person. They don't know that they have to perform the contract for that person. They know they have to perform it for you. So the effect of failure to notify is that it's going to be non-compliant. The effect of notification, once that other party of the contract is notified that there's been an assignment, means that they need to operate as if that other person is you in the performance of that contract. Now, one of the most frequently assigned rights is that of money payments. This can be done in a business closure. It can be done with respect to causes of action that I'll assign to you that I have to be able to do it, because I don't want to be bothered with it, and I'll discount that. It means I'll let you take more of the money than I would have. A person who's entitled to receive money for a payment of goods can assign that to another. Security is another thing that you can assign, in which case you're not actually assigning the right to receive the money. You're assigning the right to hold that money for security. The law allows future and expected rights to money to also be assigned. It doesn't have to be an immediate right. It can be a future right. And the purpose of the assignment is one of the two things. When it's for a actual amount of money, you can have the right to collect and keep that money. When it's security, you have the right to keep the security until something else happens that is part of the contract. Now, as we said, there's a general permissibility of assignments. Generally, assignments on contracts are permissible unless they're expressly prohibited in the contract or they're violative of public policy. Prohibition, if it is in the contract, has to be a clear and specific contractual prohibition against the assignment. And absent such a prohibition, you can assign the contract. There's certain rights that are not assignable. If a transfer of a right would materially affect or alter a duty of the obligation, then you can't assign it. That is such, I'll give you an example, like in a credit transaction or personal services. Frequently the assignment of that is, I didn't contract with somebody else. I contracted with you. It's the same way with a duty. On that basis, those things are generally non-assignable because frequently the contract will forbid that. What are the liabilities of the assignors and the assignees? The assignor has continued liability on the contract. The fact that they assign a write out on it, they still have liability on that contract to the other party. And the liability of the assignee is generally not held to anything other than what they are obtaining by the assignment. So to give you an example, in the situation where you're paying $500 a month rent, you're paying it to the car owner now instead of to the landlord, on that basis you're entitled to continue to receive the payments, as we said, but you may have a liability if double payments were made to give that back, that liability would be only on the basis of the fact that the assignment didn't call for that. You're not liable to make sure that the apartment is in good shape, which might be part of the contract. That would be of me as a landlord, not as the assignment in that. So warranties of an assignor. When the assignment is made for consideration, the assignor is regarded as providing an implied warranty that the right is valid. When I assign that right to you to pay to the other party, when I'm doing that assignment, you have to say that right is valid to do it. And the assignor also warrants that the claim is valid, that the assignor will not interfere with that. So the warranties of the assignor say that's going to happen. So when I sign your right to collect that money, to a third party, I'm saying, yeah, I'm going to get that money. I'm saying, yeah, you have a legal right to that money, and yeah, that money will be paid to you. Now, I'm still on that hook to you for the money. So if all of a sudden my tenant stops paying, I'm still responsible that you get that $500. What about delegation? We've talked about assignments. Assignments are being able to transfer the right of a contract. A delegation is to transfer of the duties of the contract. And under this, you're basically transferring the requirement that the contract be performed. The effect is of a permissible and effective delegation is that the delegator commits to no breach of the contract and that the delegatee will perform the contract. That's what they're going to do. They're going to say, we're going to perform that contract for you through this other party. Sometimes this is denied in the contract. You don't have the right to do it when there's a requirement for personal performance. If I turn around and have a contract with Billy Joel to play the piano at my birthday party, and instead of Billy Joel showing up, Fred the Clown shows up to pretend to play the piano, that's not the same. You can't delegate that to Fred the Clown. Why? I paid for Billy Joel to play at the party. And, particularly with certain professionals like physicians or dentists or lawyers or consultants, artists, professional athletes, you want their usual and exceptional skills and talent. That's what you're contracting for. And when it was required that personal performance, that's generally not allowed to be delegated. The intention of the delegation of the duties has to be there as well. I have to intend to delegate that. And if the contract says I can't, if the contract says that you cannot delegate the duties under this contract, then you can't. If the law says you can't delegate that duty, then you can't. If public policy says you can't delegate that duty, then you can't. Absent those things, however, you generally can. And it's interesting to note that under the UCC, the UCC actually supports delegation of duties, specifying that unless it is specifically precluded in the contract, that you have the right to delegate. That's the issue of assignments and delegations. We're going to move on next to our case. I hope you have a wonderful time, and we're looking forward to seeing you shortly. Thanks so much.